Good morning, Faith Fellowship Church. All right. Well, it looks like there are a lot of families traveling. So you all get to be kids today and take part of the Upper Room Kids Service. Since this is Upper Room, as we celebrate communion, we'd like to have the kids in on the service to understand what communion is, to take part in communion. And a cool thing is I usually do something on stage with the kids. But today, you're all going to be my kids. So everybody come up on stage. just kidding. The stage is mine. But what I want to do is take a look back at 2019. And what I was going to have all the kids share up here were some of their memories from this past year. But instead, it's your job. So I do have one volunteer who's going to help me. Ava, you want to stand up now? She kind of didn't volunteer. She was kind of voluntold. I went Joanna on her. So she's going to cover kind of this half of the room. I'm going to cover this half of the room. And if you just want to raise your hand and just kind of reflect on what God has done in your life, something memorable from 2019, feel free to share something. Ava will track you down if you're on that side, and I'll get the mic to you if you're on this side. So anybody have something that they would like to share? There you go, your first one.
God was faithful with my family this year. My nephew has alcoholism and went away to rehab in Nashville. I just saw him at Christmas. He's doing great, and he had to go to a second step, which cost a lot of money. And God had opened the door for, he's a musician, musician scholarship to pay for the second step. He's now in a halfway house in Nashville where we have family there. So I've just seen God's hand move through this challenge in his life. And my wife had surgery a couple weeks ago, and she's doing well. So God's faithful, and we are thankful.
So God's been really good to me. I hate public speaking. So God's been really good to me this year. Needed a liver transplant, and a number of people came forward to get tested.
You're good.
Oh, man. Apparently I'm more emotional because I have more of... I have my wife's liver in me, so that's... So I'm going to blame it on her because, you know, I'm a man. So God's been really good. A number of people came forward and got tested, but they're really picky about who they'll let donate. And but Amy... Amy qualified. I didn't feel all teary before I got the mic. So God's been really good. I'm feeling a lot better. So everything's good. So where's...
Hi, my name's Tom Elamundo, and the best thing that's happened to me in 2019 was joining this church, and my family also. It brought us together, and this church is so, it's got the right attitude, fellowship. I've felt very welcome here and felt very at home here, so I want to thank you all for that.
Can you hear me? Hi, my name is Mary. I think this is my fourth time here. In early December, not sure what day, out with a girlfriend eating dinner, going to leave, and she backed into Theron's new car. And he took it really well. and witnessed in the parking lot. We were both Christians, started talking, actually all three of us started talking, and I thought, wow, I need to, and invited me to the church here, and I thought, wow, I need to be, you know, with somebody worshiping in that kind of environment, because that was awesome. That was awesome. He came at the right time. God always does.
Thank you. So when you guys go out today, make sure you hit somebody's car and then invite them to church. So we have a new evangelism here. Thank you, Theard. Anybody else want to talk anything?
Hello, my name is Tamsin de Blasio, and my favorite memory for 2019 is my retirement party at work. One of the best things for me in 2019, which was pretty uneventful, but this one was, I guess, being re-baptized here at the church. Learning through the Bible through the 2 years has really taught me a lot, and just renewing my faith again and disciplining myself. So thank you.
Anybody else have something to share? Last moment. Oh, there we go. We got one, Nick. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Raymond Schultz. This year, I had a very heavy tragic that my uncle passed away of cancer, which I was really devastated about. And the most favorite things that I remember about Uncle Larry is spending every day with him. He caught some of the greatest fish that in the lakes and all the back of his brother's, the lake in his brother's backyard. It was really cool how he catches these fish. He's like a ninja master, that he waits for the right moment to pull the fish in, waits for the right moment and pulls them in fast, and he can catch the most wildest looking fish. And the most biggest fish that I could think of was actually Jumping Jack, was the giant big mouth bass in Carver Glen, which my brother-in-law tried to catch several times. It kept slipping away from him like a little slippery snake. So, anyway, I remember my Uncle Larry, he loved the sports, which I'm wearing the Ravens right now. Which, well, I wouldn't go too far about that. But I miss my Uncle Larry, so he was like the father figure that I barely had. And I really loved him. May God rest his soul. I love you, Uncle Larry.
All right. Well, I think as we reflect and we think upon 2019, we do find a lot of memories, a lot of heartache, but a lot of joy and a lot of happiness as we look forward to now 2020. So I thank you guys for sharing with those things to really now think about as we get ready to start this new year. And this microphone transition. And as we get ready to think about kind of 2020, he just gives us Mr. Frank. I was trying to think about what to speak on, what direction to go as kind of this singular message. It's also one of those messages that's hard to prepare because kind of out of the office during this kind of transition, you know, there's take time off from Christmas. Interesting fact, also this message was written with on a school bus traveling to Severna Park with 13 varsity basketball players in the back of the bus. And you can just imagine what was happening in the back of the bus. Tiffany, you feel me, you know. High school boys can be an interesting thing when you're trying to relate to spiritual matters on a bus and things. So
As we get ready to think about this, I was thinking on Romans chapter 8 and of the new life that we have in Christ Jesus, the life that we have as we head in to this new year. You know, I hope you had a great Christmas season. I hope you had a time to celebrate with family, to reflect on all the things that Christmas means. And as we now turn to this New Year's, I hope you're getting ready to set those January resolutions. That's what I call them because that's how long they last, correct? January resolutions, we set out on this great thing to set these goals and tasks for the year, and so often we fall short only a few weeks in. But I think there's one resolution that we can all set forward, and I think it's the one that is probably being preached about in churches all across America today. It is this idea of drawing closer to Christ, to reflecting on this life that we have in Christ. I know that I want to be closer to Christ than I was in 2019. For the last 2 years, we have preached from the books of Genesis all the way to Revelation, thinking about what those books teach us about the Christian faith, how they challenge us, how the words encourage us in our walk. And in 2020, we're going to look over the first 7 months of what the Bible teaches about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the church, man, evangelism, all these things, and we're going to examine what we believe and why we believe it as a church. We're also going to have an upper room series in which we look at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to have one for each month as well. But as I said, today we're going to examine several truths from Romans 8, truths that help guide us in this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer as we get started? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come and gather and worship, to lift up your name in songs and praise, to turn our hearts and attention toward you. Lord, now as we look to your words in Romans chapter 8, help us to understand all that you've given us in Christ. Help us to see the life that you want us to live in this new year. Help us to turn from the desires of the flesh that we have in our lives to those that are honoring and glorifying to you, Lord. Lord, we pray these things and we lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was preparing this message, very often, as you look at Romans 8, there are sometimes a series of four or five messages working our way through this great chapter in Scripture. Well, I'm going to cover it in the next 30 minutes. So clearly, we're not going to have a lot of time to hit everything, but I do want to highlight many of the things that Paul brings out to us, the things that Paul encouraged us through this letter. But first, I want to give us a quick little catch-up to what Paul's been talking about here in Romans. In Romans chapter 1 through 5, Paul is dealing with the problem of sin and salvation. He's setting up the truth that all mankind are sinners, that we are all under this sin and we are under the penalty of sin. And it is only by Jesus Christ that our sins can be dealt with. Then as he gets into the section we're ending with a little bit today of chapter 6 and 8, he begins kind of what it means to live a life that is pleasing to God. And he'll address this again later in the book as well. Paul in chapter 6 and chapter 7 is talking about how we are dead to our sins, how we put to dead die our sins on the cross. Then he talks about the new identity that we have in Christ Jesus. And in today, in chapter 8, we're going to see seven new things that we have in Christ. So let's take a look at these new life that we have in Christ Jesus. The first thing, as we turn into Romans 8, we see that in Christ, we have a new freedom. The opening verses to this chapter say, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteousness requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He opens up with those great opening words to this chapter. No condemnation. And we have to look at two key phrases there. We have to look at that word and the word in Christ. Paul in Romans 3:23 has already said that all fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Nobody in this room can say they are without sin. He goes on then in Romans 6:23 to say that the wages of sin is death. So because of our sins, the punishment that we deserve is death. It is an eternal death, separation from God. But then, as you know, the end of Romans 6:23, the key is this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's saying, look, there is no condemnation. There is no penalty for sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. The next thing is, what does it mean then when he says in Christ? It is those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those believe in his death, burial, life, resurrection from the dead. We are free from sin in Christ. I've heard it described kind of in this way, as you think about these two different lives. If you throw a rock into the air, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. The law of gravity is greater, and that rock comes plummeting down back to the earth. Hopefully you threw it away from yourself and not straight in the air, or you're in for a big surprise on top of your head. All right, but you ever been to a wedding? I'm sure some of us have been. And have you ever been to a wedding where they released birds or doves and they have them in their hands and they throw them? Does the bird fall back down to the ground? Hopefully not. If not, everybody is just freaking out and tragic over everything. But no, they release the bird and the bird has the ability to soar. The law of gravity is no longer hindering that bird and it is free to fly. In the same way, our sins keep us down. Our sins are like gravity, bringing us down into the depths of the darkness of our flesh. But it is in Christ Jesus that the law of gravity means nothing. And we are able to soar in a new life in Christ. We are free from the penalty of sin. See, additionally, Paul is going to introduce this using this word flesh. And he's going to use it throughout this section and throughout a lot of his writings. So whenever you see the flesh, what Paul is referring to is the sinful nature that is within all of us. The sinful nature that we just never get rid of, as we'll see later on in this text, until we enter into glory. So we are always within this struggle of trying to live a life in the Spirit, but also by a life that is corrupted. And it is not the way Christ wants our lives to be. So we have, verse, this new freedom. Then we see in the next section, in Christ, we have new desires. In verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Here's a key word there, and it says, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Paul in this section is going to kind of give a contrast. He's going to compare these two things, living a life in the flesh and living a life in the Spirit. And you're going to see he says kind of things on both sides of those things. In the flesh, he's going to refer to kind of this deadness, this evilness that corrupts us. And what he does is he sets out and he uses that word in the first verse there and he says, our mind sets. The things that our mind is thinking about, the things that our minds are pondering. Paul uses a similar phrase in Philippians 3:19. As he's talking about this, he says their destiny is destruction. Their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. We're seeking the things that we want. We're seeking the things that God doesn't wish in our lives. Instead, Paul wants us to know that we want to live a life with our mind set on the things of God, with our mind set on the things of Christ. And this is the thing he says in Philippians 2, verse 5, as he's about to introduce that great section about imitating Christ, about living the humble life. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. See, very simply, Paul is saying that your thoughts and your life should not be the same as what they were before you knew Christ. You are different in Christ. The Spirit leads the believer to think about the things that are pleasing to God. This is the very struggle that we have. And in verse 13, it talks about then putting to death the things of the flesh. We should be continually seeking to rid sin out of our lives. We are not going to be perfect as long as we live on this earth. But we are continually seeking to rid ourselves of sin. And the Spirit works in our lives to assist us. And we will see that later on within this section. So the question is, then, how are we forming our minds? What are we letting get into our lives that is causing us to think about the things of the flesh? As I said before, maybe it's the songs we listen to. Maybe it's the movies we watch. Where are we setting ourselves up for disaster? The question then becomes, how can it be different in the new year? How can we make those changes in our lives? We don't want to live a life that is hostile to God. We want to live a life that is honoring in Christ. Douglas Moo says, if we are serious about progressing in the Christian life, we must seek every day to feed our minds with the spiritual food. Too easily, our quiet times can degenerate into routine exercises in which the mind is hardly involved. We read Scripture, but we don't really engage in it by asking what it means and how it applies to us. So often, as we're reading our Scriptures, it could just be a little checkbox. And we could say, okay, I've read my Bible today, which is great. But have you sat and have you thought about that passage? Have you thought about what it's teaching you, how it wants you to change, how it wants to mold you to be more like Christ? The next thing that we see is our third thing. And in Christ, we have a new relationship. And in verse 14, as we already have seen, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are called the children of God. He goes on to say that we are adopted into the sonship of God. And this is a beautiful picture that when we become, when we accept Christ, we become part of a new family. We become children of God. And it says, this is where it says we can cry out, Abba, Father, to our Heavenly Father. But it says we're not just children, but we are heirs with Christ. We are going to rule with Christ. And though we are suffering through this world now, there is a great hope and promise for us in the future. You see, when a child is adopted into a family, that child gets all the rights of the natural children. And as we are adopted into Jesus Christ, we get all the benefits of Christ Jesus. And then we get the Spirit to testify for our sake. See, we live in a world where there's brokenness in relationships, right? Families are broken. Peers hurt each other. There is brokenness in this world, and it all comes down to the sinful nature within all of us. Sin divides us. Sin breaks us. But where the earthly relationships fail, God never fails. We are adopted into his family, and along with that comes those future hope and that future glory. Next, we see in Christ, we have a new hope. And I'm not just talking about Star Wars, A New Hope. Stay with me. Now, some people who have never seen Star Wars are like, what are you talking about? But here we have a new hope. Paul in verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I like that verse because one thing Paul points out is he's not hiding the fact that we will face suffering in this world. We have faced a lot of hardship in 2019. But there is a great promise and a great hope that comes in Jesus Christ. For we know that the future glory that awaits us is better than anything that this world could ever offer. It says we are in hope for Jesus Christ. And it is not a hope that is uncertain. It is a hope that is certain. And we look forward to this great glory in Christ. In this section, Paul is revealing to us, as we've already seen, this great life that we have in Christ. We have a new freedom, new desires, new relationships, a new hope. And now he says this new life also gives us a new assistant, an assistance that comes into our lives in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 26, you'll see there, it says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is the helper that Christ left behind for us. He actually says in John chapter 16, he says, look, it is actually good for you if I leave. He says, I am getting ready to depart. But I'm going to send the helper, the advocate to come, and he is going to help you remember me. He is going to bring me to your mind. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When we don't have the words to express, when we don't have the thoughts that are coming to our mind, the Holy Spirit brings verses to our minds. The verses remind us of God's goodness, of his trustworthiness in our lives. And as we reflect on that new life, we understand that we have the Holy Spirit at work in us. And as we live out this life, we'll see our sixth thing is that in Christ, we have a new confidence. He says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. This verse is sometimes taken to understand that no bad things will ever happen in the life of a believer. But as we've already seen, Paul has talked about the suffering that we face in this world. But as we reflected on the hope of Jesus Christ, we have confidence in that hope. In knowing that this world only offers us so little compared to the future that we have in the goodness of the promises of Jesus Christ. Because one day we know that when our eyes close and we take our last breath, we know that all God has been working for us in this world, that there is a good that awaits us in heaven. See, we must not forget Paul's main point, which is assuring believers of this gospel. Even in the suffering that we face, we are to have confidence in Christ. You know, we won't always understand the things that we experience in this world. We will not always enjoy it, but we know with confidence that nothing comes into our lives that God does not allow and that he does not use for his own purpose. See, also we get in this section, in that small little verses there, the important goal for our lives, of why we go through struggles, of why we know it goes for something good, because he is trying to conform us to the image of his son. And in verse 29, that's what he's talking about, of conforming us, of making us more like Christ. We know that that is something that won't be complete until we reach heaven. But we continue in the Spirit. We continue in this life to live the life Christ has called us to live. And then finally, in this great chapter of Romans chapter 8, we get to the end. And we now have in Christ a new assurance of the love of God. And he wraps this up and he comes to this great question. And in verse 31, he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? As we reflect on the new hope, the new freedom, what do we say in response to these things? He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. He says, in light of everything, God is there with us. He goes on and say, look, God didn't even spare his own son for you, but offered him up on a cross. In verse 34, he goes back to verse 1 of this chapter. He says, who then is the one who condemns? He says, no one. He says, Christ died. He says, more than that, he was raised to life. And he is at the right hand interceding for us. Look at verse 35 then. He says, who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? You might have these verses, sometimes these get called kind of pillow verses. You know, maybe your grandmother had this verse kind of sewn onto a pillow, sitting right nice on that couch that was covered in plastic, right? So this is one of those pillow verses. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? It says, neither trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. He says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we reflect on where we want to head in 2020, I want to live a life that is confident in those verses. Confident in the life that I have in Christ Jesus. That nothing can separate me from his love. That I have a new hope in Christ. I have a new freedom in Christ. I have assurance in Christ. I have a new helper in Christ. And as we face daily the struggle of the flesh, we know that the Spirit is at work in us to conform us more to the image of Christ Jesus. And that is where I want my life to be in 2020. I want my life to reflect Christ more and more. And then I can live in the confidence that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. That is some great hopes for us to look at for 2020. As we think about the table before us, we reflect now on that sacrifice that Paul has been laying out throughout the book of Romans, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we saw, we are under sin. And if you don't understand that, if you don't know what Christ has done for you, you are under sin and you are under condemnation. You are under death, an eternal separation in hell. But as Paul says, the good news is that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for that penalty, to take on the condemnation of our sins. And if we think and reflect and we believe in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, then we do have forgiveness of sins. And it is that that we remember here today. I want to call the ushers to come forward as we get ready for a time of remembrance. And here at Faith Fellowship Church, we don't ask that you are a member of our church. We just ask that you are a believer. That you have come to the point where you understood that, yes, I am a sinner. And that nothing I could ever do could remove sin from my life. And you realize that, yes, God sent his Son Jesus. On that Christmas time, as we reflect on that, the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. To live a life that I could not live. And then die a death that I did deserve. If you believe that, we invite you to remember that today. If you don't believe that, we invite you to talk to somebody around you and figure out what all this means and how Jesus wants to change your life in 2020. Let's now examine ourselves. Think about where you've been in your life. Confess any sins that you need to confess before we take part in this time of remembrance.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you reflecting on the body of your Son which was broken on that cross. Lord, it's a punishment that we deserve, Lord. But your Son came and took it upon himself, Lord. Lord, we thank you, and we always look and reflect on the love that you showed that day, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Father, we again come into your presence, reflecting just on the blood that was shed on that cross, the blood that covers our sins, Lord, and makes us as new, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for the new life that we have in Christ Jesus, Lord. A life that brings us into your Spirit, that brings us into your presence, that brings us into your Son, Lord, and we just can't help but thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.